Why don't you turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And then you'll be flipping right over to Ephesians chapter 5, but we're going to read a couple verses in Hebrews chapter 12 first. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It goes on a little bit to talk about Christ, but just the thought there that we understand in verse number 1 there of running the race with patience, the race that's set before us. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5, and this is going to be our text, but I want us to be thinking and considering in our minds a walk that has been prepared for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Ephesians 5, 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Followers of God. Tonight we're going to talk about this thought. How do I follow God? How do I follow God? How do I run the race? How do I walk as a Christian? I often hear great messages, and you know, we all hear them sometimes. But there are times we've heard a message in our life, and hey, that's a good thought. But how do I do it? How do I do that? The Christian life is about walking after Christ. It's about following our Lord. But how do I follow God? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. And we ask, Father, that you just help us as we look into your word, consider your truth. We ask that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I used to have notes hiding around here somewhere. How do I follow God? No, those aren't them. Did I put them somewhere else? I usually make sure I don't put any more than I'm using, but today I had a few more. You know, I like it when the Word of God presents a thought, and then not only does it continue the thought, but it also outlines or patterns what we need to know to understand how to do that thought. Verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be ye therefore," speaking with the things that he just talked about, namely, he just literally talked about how to reflect God's love in our own life. Ephesians 4:32 is very common. We want to tell that to our kids all the time, but it's a very powerful verse that has a very powerful truth for us, and it's, "Be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us." We understand our way that we show love toward somebody else needs to be in the same manner that God showed love towards us. But therefore, because of what Paul was just talking about, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We understand. I don't know if you've ever seen in your life a family walking down the street where the kids are just kind of following along. Have you ever seen that before? I have, so it's okay, yeah. I've seen it. I've seen kids walking along behind. I don't know why you... None of you have seen that? Oh, thank you. When it comes to God, we need to be following Him. But the thing is, we can't follow Him unless we're walking after Him. We can't. I know this is simple. It's supposed to be simple. I like simple things. I can't understand more complicated things, so I like simple things. In order for us to follow God, we have to walk after Him. We have to walk after Him in the race that He set before us. If I'm following Him, I have to be following Him as He desired me to follow Him. I can't be following Him by running off and doing my own thing. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes I have no idea where I'm going in life. No idea. It's just, there have been times in my life when God made it abundantly clear that it's time to take some steps. And I don't know where these steps are taking me, and I don't know if I can really get there, but if God says go, it's time to go. We think it's big in our lives, but imagine putting yourself in Abraham's shoes, growing up in your father's country, in your father's house, and God says, well, Abram, it's time to go. Where? Into the land that I'm going to show you. Okay, I'll go. But Ephesians chapter 5, I like outlines. Ephesians chapter 5 gives us an outline. Verse number 2, it says, and walk in love. What kind of love? As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling favor. If we are to be a follower of God, we must walk after Him. But the first walk in our life, right here, walk in love. If I'm going to follow, be a follower of God, I must learn how to walk in love. If I am to walk in love then, to walk in this love, I must understand what love we are to walk in. Because when we use the word love, nowadays, what in the world are you talking about? We must understand what love. This love is not a mimicking love of the world. It's not a love that just allows you to identify with those things that you want to be identified with. Think for a moment of sports fans. They have no shame of being identified with certain sports teams, which sometimes that's okay. I won't make any comments about other teams that I know people identify with. We'll try to keep it civil here. Because some people I know like teams I don't like. But here's the thing. It's easy for us to identify with those things that we want to identify with. But ask yourself the question, do we want to identify with God? You know, that's why separation is so important. Because if they can't tell you're like God, they're not going to call you a Christian. Well, I don't want them to call me a Christian. Ooh. I think that's a sad problem in our world today, is Christians don't want to be Christians. Because it shows, it actually reveals what they love more. Do we love God or do we love the world? What we love, we will either mimic or we will reflect. And a mimicking kind of love is what happens when we love the world too much. We start mimicking their actions, their passions, their interests. Well, if I'm going to walk in love, that's not the kind of love to walk in. That's the kind of love that, I mean, just look at Lot. Contrast Lot and Abraham together. What do you get? You have one that was content with the things of God and one that coveted the things of the world. You had one that was content to live under the provision of God, and one that needed to have prestige of men. He sat at the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah to give judgment to others. That's what sitting at the gates of the city was all about. He wanted that as opposed to living a life for God. Guess what? He mimicked the world. If you want to look at his life, the men didn't have any problem with him there. He fit right in. And when it was time to go, he didn't even go himself. If you read the story, how did Lot get out of that city? The Bible says the angels took him and they drug him out of there. Here's a little side note here, if Lot chose to leave, he probably would have left more than just his, with his wife and kids. If Lot chose to leave, his wife probably wouldn't have turned back. If Lot chose to leave, maybe his daughters that stayed there would have gone too, because he had two sons-in-law, at least a couple of them. That means he had at least two other daughters there. When we mimic the world, it shows where our love is, and it affects our walk. Lot's walk had no testimony, had no power. It did not identify with the things of God. That was Lot's walk. That's a love that mimics the world. That's not the love that we are to walk in. It don't work. If, back here in chapter 2, it tells us what love we are to walk in. And I say this is a reflecting love of God. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. That's how we are to walk in love. That is the kind of love that we are to walk in. A love that is as Christ hath loved us. And how did he love us? As we continue, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The kind of love that we are to walk in is a love that should reflect what Christ did for us. And we'll see a pattern here, but this is an interesting thing. If we love him as he loved us, we will offer ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. He offered himself as a sacrifice to be slain. We can offer ourselves as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, set aside for his service. That is the kind of love that reflects the type of love that he showed us. A reflecting love continues. If we look at John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So when we are introduced to the supreme love that only God gives, and it is impossible to love without a it is impossible to properly, completely love without having a relationship with God. But God gave. In his love toward us, God gave. Christ reflected that love, and that he gave. We reflect that love in that we give. The love is seen in, to be simply put, walking in this love is seen by how we give. We have truth from Christ that we are to give to someone else, and that's the gospel. What Christ did for me, how God forgave me because of Christ's sacrifice, I must be sharing that. I must be proclaiming that. I must be spreading that. I must be telling that to somebody else, because it's what Christ did for me. And how I reflect how he gave himself for me is if I give myself for others. If I tell them what Christ did for me. If I tell them, hey, this is the truth. This is what you need. That's a reflecting love, because it reflects the love, the attitude, and the actions of Christ. Do we have that kind of love in our lives? Does your life reflect the love of God? That's a simple question that we have to consider. My love, if I am to walk, I must walk in love. I must walk in love. Secondly, I must walk in light. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. So verse 2, it talks about walking in love. Verse number 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Verse number 2, it tells walk in love. Verse number 8, it says walk as children of light. Hey, you've got to walk in the light. This world, it's a dark place. A very dark place. And they didn't even scratch the surface. But what is light? What is light? Well, I know God is light. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I think this was quoted a couple times on Sunday night. But in John chapter 1, this is the chapter that just proclaims who Christ is. But it says in verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Let's continue going on. It's talking about John the Baptist. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." I mean, we know who he's talking about here, right? He's talking about Christ, the Word. He is the light. He is that light. If I am to be a follower of God, I must walk in love. I must walk as children of light. I must walk in the light. I must be in the light. What does that mean? Well, I think it kind of means that your thinking needs to be in the light. Your thinking needs to be in the light. Why do you say that? Well, maybe we should fast forward a little bit and then back up. Has anybody here know what it's like to have actions? To do something? Why do you do something? You do something because you thought about it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. So if our actions are not in the light, it's because our thoughts are not in the light. If we do things that displease God, it's not just the actions, but it's also the thoughts. And hey, Christ talked about that. He said, as the Jews came to question him, and they said, well, what about murder? And he's all talking to them, if you've hated someone in your heart, you're guilty of murder. If you've looked upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you're already guilty. You're already guilty. Because he's interested in the thoughts. He's interested in what you're thinking. He's interested in what goes on the inside. Is your thinking in the light? Well, how do I put my thinking in the light? Well, Philippians says something about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hey, if you want the light to be in you, put your nose in the book. And don't get it out. Because the only thing that can make this mind something other than a dark mess of sin is the Word of God. Are you in the light? If you're not thinking in the light, you're not walking in the light. Wish I had a flashlight with me, but I like flashlights. Because in reality, we mentioned this, we live in a dark place. And I know the other day a lot of us lost power, and some of us are probably going to lose power, but this is like having a flashlight. We live in a dark place. This world is dark and we can't see. But we got something that can light our path. Wait, the Bible says that. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. If we're going to walk in the light, we have to have the light with us. We've got to have His Word hidden in our heart that we might not sin against Thee. And did you know what about something about sin? Sin is darkness. If we don't have the light, our only recourse is to be in the dark. If we don't have the light with us, our only recourse is to be in the dark. What does it say? If we don't have the Word of God, if we don't have God's truth, if we don't have the Bible with us, in us, we're in the dark. Yeah. I can't be a follower of God if I'm walking in the dark. Yeah. Am I walking in the light? 1 John says, I think it's verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. And unrighteousness, by the way, is darkness. The only thing that cleanses us from darkness, from sin, from unrighteousness, is the light of God's Word, His truth. Are we walking in light? Are we walking in love? Are we walking in light? And the last walk-in in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're going to get tonight is... why not? Verse 15. Stay. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Walk in love. Walk in light. And walk in wisdom. And the Bible gives us that picture there. It says, see that you walk circumspectly. And then it's going to clarify what it's talking about. Not as fools. You know what happens if you take a walk down a dark road without a flashlight? You can't see. You're walking in the dark. What do you expect's going to happen? You might stumble. You might fall. You're going to hurt yourself. Why? Because you couldn't see what was on around you. You were not walking circumspectly. The Bible says, that's a fool. Don't walk as a fool walks. If a fool doesn't know where they're going, if a person doesn't know where they're going, they're walking like a fool. If a Christian doesn't know where he's going, if we don't know where we're going, if we don't know what we're doing, if we don't see the dangers that are going on around us, if we don't see the temptations that are going on around us, if we don't understand what's at stake for our own personal testimony, if we don't understand what's at stake for the safety of our own family, according to the Bible, if that's me, I'm a fool. Because I'm not walking in wisdom. See, if the Bible's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, would it not behoove us to adopt that into our lives and say, okay, well, this is truth. Truth sets us free. Free from what? Free from bondage. Free from sin. If I know God's Word has the answers, I would be wise to take those answers, take that truth, apply it to my life so that I might walk in such a way that I can see. All right, so if I'm walking circumspectly so that I, all around me, I am able to observe what's there, I am then able to make decisions based on what is revealed to me. Not just what I see, because I can sometimes think, hey, I know what's going on. I'm really good at that, by the way. Thinking I know what's going on. I'm good at that. I'm also good at being wrong, just so you know. But if I'm walking as wise, then I'm not the one making the judgment calls on things, because I'm leaving that to the Word of God. If the Bible says something's wrong and it says this is a danger and I ought not go there, then I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to I don't want to get close to that so I don't stumble over that. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, the last couple verses there. Proverbs chapter 4. The Bible gives wisdom. It just gives truth. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart. You know, set some protection on there. Be diligent about what you allow in your heart. Because if you just allow anything to come on in, then anything can wipe you out. Keep it with diligence. Be guarded. Be careful. Why? Because I'm in here. It's supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. It's supposed to be His. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. This is His temple. His temple. If you look at the temple, if you look at the tabernacle, it had walls built around it. He had it structured in such a way so things weren't supposed to get in that weren't supposed to be in there. But oftentimes we think, yep, I know I'm in the temple of the Holy Ghost, but I can do whatever I want. I can let any old thing in. And then we like, why do I have so much trouble being a Christian? Why is it so hard? Well, if you don't act like a Christian and you don't think like a Christian, you're going to have trouble being a Christian. Be wise. Keep your heart with diligence. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. You know, our focus is supposed to be on Christ. He is our goal. He is our crown. He is our reward. He is to be our focus. But honestly, He's not our focus if we're too busy chasing after anything but Him. Let your eyes look straight before thee. Straight. 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of your feet. Hey, your decisions. Consider your decisions. Is this decision something that is going to please God? Will this decision bring honor and glory to God? Or will this decision displease Him? Does this decision fall in line with the Word of God? Or is this decision I'm about to make kind of contrary to the Word of God? Ponder the path of your feet. Those are the decisions that you make. I don't know if a day has gone by in my entire little life of 33 years has gone by where I've not made at least one little decision. We are a people of making decisions. Unfortunately, I think we have a track record of making kind of poor decisions. Kind of depends on who you talk to, but ponder the path of your feet. Is this the decision that you're thinking of now? You know, a lot of us, we have things that we are working on or we're doing. Some of us are working on life's changes. Some, I don't know if there's anybody here wanting to, you know, buy a car or buy a house or whatnot. Ponder your decisions. Think about it. Let all of your ways be established. Established is like being planted. See, if you're going to make a decision or make like principles in your life, make sure that they're established on God's word, on His truth, and not based on feeling or what so-and-so said. Let it be what the Bible says. That's how you establish it. 27 says, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. Sense of this word evil is destruction. Because if you make if you go that way too far, you'll wipe yourself out. There's a ditch on both sides of the road. Have y'all ever heard of a pendulum before? See, sometimes we make a decision in our life because somebody's over here, and whoa, that's wrong. So you swing all the way over here. And you're over here because they're over there. And you're like, I'm not over there, so I must be right. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Center yourself on God's word. And don't get wiped out on either of the ditches. Just center yourself on God's word. That's how you walk in wisdom. By centering your life on God's word. By staying focused straight on Him. And not allowing yourself to be swayed by what so-and-so says or what so-and-so says. Because I can think of a number of preachers that have, days gone by, that one person said this, so the other person swung way over and said this, and they both were slamming each other, calling each other heretics. Neither one of them were in the middle. Let's center ourselves on God's word. You want to be a follower of God? Walk in love, reflecting the love of God that God shows through Christ, as Christ sacrificed himself for us, let us sacrifice ourselves for him. As Romans 12 says, just offer ourselves a living sacrifice to him, which is our reasonable service. Just be a servant of God. Love him. If you love me, as Christ said, keep my commandments. Just do what Christ wants us to do. Walk in love. Walk in light. Walk in the knowledge of the Word of God. Let Him illuminate our path. Let Him guide and direct our steps. Walk in wisdom. Just let our ways be established on the Word of God, turning not to the right hand nor to the left. Are you a follower of God tonight? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,